Edit or not to edit? That is the question. There are a lot of opinions out there when it comes to editing a podcast. And so I have with me today Carl Richards of Podcast Solutions Made Simple to share how to edit your podcast like a professional. I love how he brings his radio background into his editing approach. It'll actually change the way that you look at your podcast. So let's take a listen. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I have another expert in the podcasting industry, which I love to spotlight. But what I love about Carl, A, he's been speaking forever and great on stage, great presence, but he's been in the radio industry for a long time as well on the production end. So I really wanted to pick your brain, Carl Richards. Thank you for coming to the show on everything to do with editing your podcast so that you sound like a professional.
Yeah, Lindsay, I'm looking forward to it. And for the record, I haven't been speaking forever. That's a long time.
So, you know, I didn't want to date you and say your age. He's been speaking for X amount of years.
It has been quite a few years, though. Yeah. So, yeah.
Forever, but in a good way.
Oh, absolutely. It seems like, though, I'm just getting started. Every day is a new day, and I feel like there's something to learn today. And I think that when you stop learning, especially in our world, in the podcasting world, where it's ever evolving. So what you learned yesterday, guess what? There's something new today that you probably need to know.
Keeps you on your toes. We're never bored, are we, Carl?
No, 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 not at all. Not at all.
Awesome. So I always find it fascinating when people are in a radio background, because it seems like, you get starstruck kind of thing. So coming from that radio background, obviously you learned a ton. What were some of the big takeaways?
Oh my goodness. Some of the things that you learn in radio, I mean, aside from just the speaking part, and there's many aspects that when you go to radio school, it's not called that, by the way, when you go to radio school and you learn the things within the industry that are going to make you employable on the end of it. It's amazing what you don't know. And it's amazing the things that you learn after you've gotten that first job. So, but a lot of the things that you do learn are the back end things that most listeners would not hear. So the editing, the putting things together, most people don't think about what an announcer, what a broadcaster has to do before they go on the radio. They think they just naturally open the mic and start talking.
I know.
Sometimes you get to that point where you can do that with very little preparation, but certainly when you're starting out, you need to research and do your show prep and all of that stuff. So not to dissuade anyone who is interested in that kind of career or has had a career in broadcasting and is thinking, oh, is this podcasting space good for me? It certainly does help when you have that foundation in broadcasting, pivoting into podcasting, because you already have some of those solid skills about how to edit content down so you're not leaving everything there. And I think that's a very important piece that you learn, because sometimes in the radio world, you only have 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you've recorded something with a guest, for example, that is going to air later and they've given you 6 minutes of content, guess what? You have to pare that back by 3 minutes. You can't say, oh, no, four. It's going to be 4 minutes. And we're talking minutes here, not
that's crazy.
Some people, not what some people perceive in the podcasting world. And I'm not saying all, but there's a perception out there that if I have a podcast, it has to be 45 minutes long or an hour. And can you imagine recording for 2 hours and having to pare it back to only 1 hour?
That would be crazy. That would take forever.
You wouldn't conceive that. You just would not think of that, right? Mm-hmm. So that definitely, though, that skill itself, being able to separate, all kinds of different hairs. Yeah. I call it separating fly poop from pepper in some ways. Okay, what do I keep? What do I not want? What's the spice that I really want to keep in there? And what's the stuff I definitely don't want? And that's a skill set that I don't want to say it's only learned in radio, but it certainly is one that I learned extensively. And not to date myself, but when I went through college, we were doing it on reel-to-reel tape.
Craziness.
So not, Yeah. So not even electronic or digital editing like we do today. It was, and sometimes you had to do it in record time. Like you had to, you had two and a half minutes to edit something very quickly to 30 seconds. And it's, then they've given you 2 minutes of content. You're like, okay,
it's great still
to have.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective because I never really thought of it that way. So does it make you approach audio differently now that you're in the podcasting space?
Yes, I'm so picky. It's almost embarrassing to say so because, but here's the thing. Consumers, I believe, are more savvy than they've ever been.
Yeah.
So good enough isn't good enough anymore.
Hmm.
Believability, yes, that's fine. Authenticity, yes, that's fine. But if you leave everything there for people to digest, all of your mistakes, all of the things that you that aren't necessarily relevant to your recording, guess what? Your audience is going to say, not for me. And if the audience thinks it's not for them, guess what? It's not for them. They won't come back possibly. So that's made me a very critical or picky editor. And my producer, I think I drive him crazy sometimes because when generally I'm pretty good, but when I listen to some of his editing, every now and again, I'll say, you know what, Kieran, his name's Kieran. I'll say, Kieran, great editing, a little too tight here, or leave some of this in here, but hey, take out some of this other stuff that we don't need. So I have a very critical ear.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing because not only of the consumer, but you know where the industry is going, or at least we'd like to think we know where the industry is going as far as quality. There's a huge uptick in quality, and that's why some of the platforms such as Apple Podcasts, for example, now have a premium content platform.
Yeah.
Because if it's your best stuff, they want you to put it out there. But if it's just your regular shows, well, no, sorry, that's not good enough for that platform. And I think the content will eventually get there anyhow. So listening with a critical ear is almost to a fault. Sometimes it's my Achilles heel, but at other times it saves me a lot of re-editing later on down the line.
So how can you tell if a podcast is well produced? Like, what are your markers or indicators for that?
There are several. If there's no production, that's very easy to tell because firstly, at the beginning of the podcast, sometimes there's 10 seconds, 15 seconds. I've actually heard some podcasts start and there's over a minute of dead space at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that. The other thing that sometimes pops up in an episode is when somebody asks a question, say, let's say within this interview, you asked me a question and then I paused for 15 seconds. So a show that hasn't been properly edited or produced will have those gaffes in it. Mm-hmm. There'll also be a huge preponderance of ums and ahs, especially if the guest has several of them. I don't think I do anymore, although
it's,
I did.
It's hard to weed out, let me tell you. When you listen to yourself, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah. And you don't have to weed. That's the thing. You don't have to weed them all out. That's the other thing that I think I hear a lot of is when people try and weed all of their ums and ahs out, it's okay to leave some of them in. It's okay to leave some of your vocal crutches, your verbal crutches. It's okay to leave some of them in. So if you use like a lot, if it's ad nauseum, okay, you might want to edit some of those out. But if you're like saying like all the time, like, okay, you're going to have to really focus on not saying like. The ones you can edit out, but the ones that make it sound choppy, those are the ones you want to keep in there because you want it to have, when you play it back, you want it to sound like natural conversation. And if it doesn't sound like natural conversation, that's where the listener will. And even though I'd like to think that we're not that critical, we are.
That's the part where I'm kind of like, I get the editing out some of those things and time gaps obviously are easier because it shows up on the waves, but it's like, how do you find that fine line of removing what's not necessary? And it's sounding like there's a disconnect or it's jarring.
Yeah. That's a really good question. And the best analogy I can give, you almost have to feel it. There's a certain timbre or there's a certain pattern or, And you get to, and again, this is experience, you know, 25 years in radio, I've learned this, you get to understand what a person's voice or their flow of conversation sounds like. And if they naturally will take a breath and then pause, you know that, okay, well, if I take out this extra, and again, we're separating fly poop from pepper. If I take out this extra half second after that or that awe, or after that, because sometimes I get very breathy when I'm speaking. So those gasps, just so it doesn't sound like I'm dying in a podcast episode, right? So in taking those out, it's being able to get a feel for, okay, does that sound natural? Or now do I have to go back in and put in just a little tiny bit of space so it doesn't sound too quick and too rushed and too choppy?
Right.
And yeah, that's where it can sound like that very quickly, right?
It can, totally.
Yeah.
And I guess like for me, when I'm listening to a podcast, those kinds of things don't bother me. Like I feel like I'm listening into a real conversation, but I get what you're saying where, what if that detracts you from the content because it's kind of like it's in the way or it's distracting, I guess is the right term.
I think it bothers me firstly because I hear it, but think of it. If you add the video component, how choppy will that video look unless you're using either B-roll or you're doing multicam editing when you're in this process of snipping and cleaning up your audio? Mm-hmm. When you're doing that with video too, video can become very choppy very quickly. And if you make it too, if you put some of those overlays in so it almost looks seamless, you know it's not seamless. And again, the listener and the viewer, as consumers of your podcast content, mm-hmm, they're becoming, I hate to say it, but we are more and more critical. We want to make sure you're the real deal. That's why people are podcasters to begin with. They want to elevate their credibility. At least that's my belief. Yeah. So if you want to be seen in that space, you have to make sure the final product you're putting out there is a reflection of your business, your brand, and your credibility. And you wouldn't choppy or haphazardly do something. A good example that I always give is, you know, you wouldn't take your car to an auto mechanic and have it be acceptable for them to only put on three tires instead of four, so that your ride just kind of is, well, you wouldn't get too far anyways. But that's the kind of quality that I'm talking about. And again, it's separating hairs sometimes. It really, really is. But it's the difference between something that sounds like it is an authentic and real conversation, right, or something that is, you know what? And, you know, the listener knows. That's the thing. The listener knows. They might not know exactly what they're hearing, but they'll know that something doesn't sound right. It's the conversation is too rushed, or it's not natural sounding, or they don't feel the emotion that they're supposed to when they're doing that. So from an editing standpoint, I have to feel what the listener is going to feel and go, yep, that's perfect. And by the way, for the record, that's the same way I edited audio when I worked in radio.
Oh, okay.
So if I had to put in an extra pause or go and re-edit something just to make it sound more natural, and sometimes it takes that extra 30 seconds to do that.
Yeah.
But it's a difference between believability and having it too fabricated or too edited that the listener tunes out.
Yeah. That's a great point. I've never really thought about it that way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, because I know I sort of like, I see editors and I'm like, okay, how much editing is really needed versus like what's necessary? Some people are organic. So it's like, it's hard to know as a podcaster, do I invest in this? Don't I? But like you said, you know, the industry is changing a little bit and the consumer are a little bit more savvy and a little bit more demanding of higher quality. You're right.
Well, let's put it into perspective. Let's put it into a dollars and cents perspective. Let's say you run a $500,000 business, mm-hmm, and you know, and you're, let's say you're a coach, right? I work with a lot of coaches and consultants. Let's say you want to take that business to $1 million. Okay. You already run a $500,000 business. You're really successful. Okay. And you want to take it to $1 million. Do you think it's worth investing in an editor, number one, that knows what they're doing and can do it for you? Or do you want to take the chance that either doing it yourself, which, you know, do you really have the time?
No, thanks.
but then on top of that, if you don't invest in that area, what is that going to do for you, again, from a credibility standpoint?
Right.
Right. So it's almost like I know business owners who have invested tens of thousands of dollars in websites.
Yeah. Right.
Versus doing it themselves or spending a couple of $100 yeah. and getting their cousin up the road that knows how to do it on the cheap, because they know that at the end of the day, this has to sizzle and this has to reflect who I am. You know, imagine the doctor, imagine your doctor showing up to work, you know, with a knife and fork saying, okay, I'm here to do surgery. And because you want it on the cheap, here's my knife and fork. I'm going to do open heart surgery with just this, because that's what you wanted, was something that was cheap. You probably wouldn't go to that doctor.
Right, right. Right?
So same thing. If it's a reflective of your business and your brand, it really has to be that way all across the board. Not just the visual, not just your website, but everything you do, including your podcast and yeah. the audio behind it and the editing, the visuals, everything. It all has to look and sound the way you are presenting yourself.
Yeah. And I guess it's part of, yeah, like you said, part of your authority, part of your credibility, and part of your branding.
Totally.
Now, what can we do as podcasters pre-editing to make it a successfully produced podcast?
Like, rehearse 100 times. I'm kidding. You probably don't have time to do that. Here's the thing. If you were speaking on a platform, though, in front of 10,000 people, you'd probably want to make sure that your speech was well prepared, right? So similarly, I think you want to go in prepped. I think you want to go in with the idea that if you're having a guest on your show, that rather than going with a bunch of questions, try and make it as conversational as possible, but also understand that it's your show. You drive the content, right? So know where you're going, know point A to point B. You and I did a quick 5-minute conversation before we jumped on to record this episode. So you knew that that's the direction I'm going to go in. You don't need to have hard-hitting questions. As a matter of fact, I usually don't go in personally with a lot of prep. I'll just usually say to the guest, I'll say, well, and what are we talking about again today? Oh, that. Okay, then let's go. Because that way I know, number one, it's going to sound conversational because yeah. I don't have a bunch of questions lined up. Number two, I know that based on my skill set that I've done this enough times that I can do it and my editor can fix all of my mistakes in the end. And there's usually not a ton of them to fix. If they are ones that need fixing, though, typically they're mine, not the guests, because the guest comes in way more prepped than I do. But seriously, it's usually little tiny things like ums and ahs or right. a throat clearing or something like that that might need a little bit of polish. So go in with the intention you're having a conversation, just like you're going to do if somebody came over for dinner. And while you were waiting for the potatoes to be ready to mash, you're going to sit down and have a conversation over a glass of wine or whatever, and just find out how things are going. And it's going to sound conversational. So the more conversational it sounds, the less you have to try and make it conversational. That's number one. Number two is, if you go in with enough prep, whether you have a guest or not, you should still, number one, be able to make it conversational. But number two, you go in with enough prep, knowing point A to point B, so you do have minimal editing.
True.
So when I started my podcast, for example, I would make little cheat sheets for myself, literally on a little tiny notepad that would say exactly, see, there's a throat clear right there. That would say exactly where I would want to take my content. So I would say, okay, what's the topic for today? What's the 3 points I want to hit on? And what's the main takeaway? And then I do a quick summary review. Now, I wouldn't say it like that. I would say something like, hey, it's Carl Richardson. Today on the podcast, we're talking about this. And I'd maybe pose a question, but I'd have all that written down in point form yeah. notes. So I wouldn't have it scripted. I'd have it there so I could carry the conversation with myself or with a guest. Because sometimes when you're doing solo episodes, you're talking, you think you're talking to
someone,
yourself, but you're not, you're talking to your audience. You still want it to be conversational. That could be a bit of a challenge for people starting out is how do I have a conversation with somebody who's not there? And again, having worked in radio, you sit in a room by yourself talking into a stick, because that's essentially what a microphone is, right? It's a very expensive stick, I have, you know, but you're still talking into a stick by yourself. You get used to knowing, firstly, how you sound, but you get used to knowing how to have that conversation as if somebody is there. And if it helps to put up even a picture of who your client avatar is or who your listener is, so you're looking at a face, because sometimes that's what people need is a face.
Yeah.
That'll help you with that conversation. And then that'll also help you with the flow of your content for sure. So those things for sure. Editing techniques, you know what? You're going to make a ton of mistakes off the top.
Yeah.
The more you do this though, the less you want to be editing and, you know, going through that grind of editing and editing and editing. Also keep in mind too, if you want to edit less, don't record for so long. 15 and 20 minute episodes are okay. So
I agree. Yeah. I used to actually do a show that was only 15 minutes and someone said I couldn't do it or get enough content in. And I'm like, you want to make a bet? And yeah, it's just like you said, having that framework, even as a host, like I've got a list of questions just so I can think about the direction of the episode, because I want to make sure that the listeners are getting some golden nuggets of information, things that are useful. But I would rather, like, I look at them every now and then, but I just kind of go with the flow. And just again, it's better to have that conversation and it's more fun.
Absolutely. You have that guide. That guide is there to keep you on track. And by the way, I do that as well when needed. I just don't flip open the mic and go, okay, let's go. I still have notes. I usually take the first 20 minutes of a recording to do that, to figure out with the guest where we're going to go. Some guests are easier than others that I don't need the full 20 minutes to prep. Sometimes two is more. It's all we need to know where we're going. But you give yourself that few extra minutes to prep with your guest.
Yeah.
And any questions you might make along the way, remember those are a guide, because sometimes what you want to do, this is another technique too, for limiting your editing, is those nuggets that pop up that you're not expecting within that conversation. Because again, if it's too scripted, firstly, your audience will know.
Yeah.
But there are always nuggets that come out that you're not expecting. So when those nuggets come out, run with them.
Yeah.
You know, make a note when you're in the recording, or make a mental note even, and say, there's something that you mentioned earlier, Lindsay, when you were talking about X, Y, and Z. I want to go back to that for a minute. So if you take the listener or the viewer on that journey, they'll follow you along. But if you're radically making these stops along the way in your conversation that don't make any sense, but they're on the way to your destination, you want that path to be seamless. You know, your audience, unfortunately, they're not just listening to you or watching you. Well, if they're watching you, they're paying attention to you. But if they're listening to you, they're probably doing something else. They're driving. They're getting their kids ready for school. They're cooking. They're on their, you know, they're on the treadmill. They're going for a walk. They're focusing on other things other than just you. So pay them that respect so that they know that. Okay. But if you, again, if you keep conversational, it'll be easier in the end to piece it all together and edit.
Agreed. And I think that's where the magic is, honestly, Carl. It's like someone can say something, you're like, ooh, let's go into that further. Or, that made me think of another question that relates to it. It's like, I don't care about the five other questions that I had on my piece of paper that were potential. It's like, let's dive into this a little bit further. And I think people sense that when they're the audience, it's a more magnetic conversation. I don't know how to explain it, but
you're spot on. I have had interviews where I will prep the guest. So the guest and I will go in, okay, here's three questions. I'm sure I'm going to ask you these, and I don't end up asking any of them.
Right.
Right. The conversation just organically or naturally flows in the direction you want it to. It's like water. It has a natural flow. Water knows where it wants to go.
Yeah.
In a rainstorm, you know where it wants to go, where you don't want it. Right. But conversation is the same, or can be. And it really means that as a host, you've got to put on your big podcaster kid pants, I guess is a good way to put it, and take charge. You are the not that I'm much of a sports guy, but you're the quarterback. Yeah. You know, when you're the host, you're in control. You drive that conversation. You've driven this conversation today, Lindsay. You've asked me questions. I don't know what questions on your sheet that we've covered. I don't remember, but you've driven the conversation. And that's what a host has to do, is drive the conversation, know when to pivot or know when it's time to wrap up, know all of those things, and get that content from their guest while also making sure that the listener is getting enough entertainment or content or edutainment, whatever it is as well.
Wholeheartedly. Mm. And before we wrap up, I want to touch up on a couple of things. Mm. Because I love what we've shared so far. And I think it's an important aspect that a lot of people don't talk about. But just for those techies or logistical people that are out there, because I know they're thinking it, is there equipment a factor in how well it's produced? Like, does it affect your editing? Because can you tell, like, oh, I wish they had better equipment?
I don't find necessarily with the editing.
Okay.
So much. Most software, be it video or audio, is really good. Full disclosure, I use Audacity for audio.
Oh, okay.
For video, I use a program called DaVinci Resolve, which is a very high end. But you know what? Any of the other programs, be it Final Cut or iMovie or Movie Maker, those are all really good as well.
Yeah.
DaVinci Resolve has a lot of great features in it that most podcasters don't need. It's probably up there with the quality of what Hollywood movie producers would use to edit that kind of content. So it's really, really good, but do you need it? No.
Right.
What makes the difference with audio and with video too is, well, with video, it's camera. It's making sure that the listener has a proper background, their hair is combed. I combed mine for you today, as you can see. And if you're listening, Lindsay laughed because I don't have anything on the top of my head other than skin. But the other thing too is the microphone, or making sure that the audio device you're recording into is of high quality. And even earbuds, a good quality pair of earbuds. I know people that use just Apple AirPods or something like that, typically not the first generation because they weren't so great, but the newer generations of AirPods are really good, or another good set of a good headset is really good. Or just, you know what, if you're going to be doing this on a regular basis as a host, especially, or even as a guest, go and spend a couple of dollars on a microphone. And there are different ranges of microphones out there. That's where the sweet spot is it's in the equipment, not so much for the editing,
right?
Before we even get there, what type of device. I use a Blue Yeti, but there are a lot of people who use other different kinds of mics. Shure has a great microphone. I know I'm name dropping here, but there are so many different microphones out there, entry level, but then also for more advanced podcasters who, you know, have invested a little bit more time and therefore money in their show.
Yeah.
So it all depends.
It doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. It's like,
You don't need to, you know, donate a kidney, or, you know, you don't need to, you know, give away your firstborn to have enough money for equipment for a show. But know that if you want it, and again, it goes back to the financial analogy I gave you.
Yeah.
You know, you're a $500,000 business owner and you want to level up to $1 million. The difference between a $20 microphone and a $500 microphone could make all the difference in the world.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
For sure.
Same now, as video.
Yeah. Agreed. And every little bit helps with the sound, because you don't want to distract people from the content, like you mentioned earlier.
Absolutely.
Now, you were telling me earlier that you do audio audits, which I think is brilliant, because sometimes people, like, you can tell them all this stuff, but they don't hear it. Like, they don't have your ear for it.
Sure.
So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. What we've started to do, and how this came about, was when we were doing just courses, basically helping people launch their podcasts, we would get them launched and then that was that. You know, we wouldn't check in. It's like you take any other program. It's like when you finish grade one, you're done. You're now on to grade two. And you know, that kind of thing. But what we've realized though is every now and again, it's good to check in and have your podcast go under a microscope and have somebody who knows, has no attachment to your show at all, but has some experience that they can share with you that might help you achieve your goals for your show even more. So what we do is we have five areas that we focus on. I'm not going to get into it too much on this call, but we have five areas that we focus on as far as what's the quality of your show.
Right.
Is it helping you achieve that goal, whatever that goal is for your show? So we put it under the microscope. We pull it we call it a podcast audit. Perfect. And from that, we assess everything from the artwork to the title to the show notes.
Oh, all of those things. Nice.
All of those things. So not just audio. The audio is a huge piece of it. I get to do mostly that.
Yeah.
My team does other aspects of it. And from that, what we do is give you some feedback on it. We give you a written report and it says, hey, this is what we've heard. And you decide where you want to fix it. Now, here's the nice thing with the audit, though. We'll let you pick one thing that you want to focus on, and we'll make that the focus of a podcast episode on my show. So we'll actually do we'll do some hot seat coaching, as they call it. And we'll say, okay, well, great podcaster. It's Lindsay. She has a phenomenal show, but she wants to make it even better. So Lindsay, here's some things that we heard on your show, and here's the area that you wanted to work on, and here's some feedback for you to make it better. So it's always going to be positive. We're not going to focus on the bad things, you know, things that make you go, I did that. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to focus on the things that are really good and give you the why behind we feel you can elevate this to the next level. And I think that every podcaster, myself included, every podcaster should do this at least every year.
Yeah.
At least every year. Look at it themselves or have other people look at it, you know, who are friends or family or potential listeners, or even have my team look at it.
Yeah.
Give you that assessment.
I love that. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right? And like,
exactly.
And sometimes you'll tell them, they'll be like, yeah, I kind of knew that. Or it's like, oh, I never thought of that before.
Well, some people coming into the podcasting space, they come in with a head full of ideas and a heart full of gold.
Yeah.
And all they know.
Yeah.
So if all they've listened to is, you know, Joe Rogan and true crime podcasts, they're going, that's all I listen to. But here's what I want to do with my show. Wonderful. Fantastic. When you're already 100 episodes deep, and how's that working for you? So that's where the assessment can really help you pivot and get on course. And again, it can be little things, or it can be something as major as, you know what, we have to now look at changing the title of your show because it doesn't have enough SEO. Show notes that aren't landing the way you want them to, the content that might be all over the map, the audio quality, all kinds of different aspects that we'll focus on and give people the feedback they need so that they can be successful in this space. And because I think everyone wants to be successful in this space. Especially if they're investing in the product, if they're investing in the editing, they've invested something in artwork, music, all of those things. They don't want it to just not be successful.
No. And sometimes it's just a matter of a few small tweaks that, you know, are not super onerous, which is great. So how can people connect with you and reach out so they can get a great audit and improve their podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. PodcastSolutionsMadeSimple.com. We don't have a page for the audit yet. It's a fairly new process for us. We've been doing this organically along the way, but it's something that we're really focusing on now. The link to and all my contact information is in there. So it starts with having a discovery call with me to figure out what you want to get out of this audit. What is it that you want to achieve from that? And then we figure out whether or not it is something that you really need to do. Maybe we can actually solve one of those problems that you're having, one of those challenges. We can solve that in 20 minutes, maybe. Totally. Or if it needs a deeper dive, then we can help you with that too.
Yeah. Perfect. Thanks so much. You're always fun to chat with and you have great energy. And you gave some really smart feedback in regards to producing, editing, and making those changes so that you sound like a professional.
Well, thanks, Lindsay. It's been fun. And don't forget, it's separating fly poop from pepper.
I will not forget.
Remember that.
Trust me. You're awesome. Thanks, Carl.
Thanks.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.